Please be seated. And let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can sing your praises and put our trust in you. We thank you for your word, and we pray as we open your word together this morning that you will speak to us in our hearts, that you will change us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might be a faithful people, trusting and leaning on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do have your Bibles open at that Isaiah reading. It's page 708. I wonder if you've noticed how many self-help books there are around. It's amazing if you Google it how many there are. You might have one or two on your own bookshelf, but there are hundreds. The Self-Care Project, Heal Yourself, The Art of Happiness, another one, Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind, The Power of Positive Thinking, and so on. Well, today's reading, which from Isaiah, which was a rather a long one, but thank you, Katie, for reading all of it. It's the opposite of self-help. It's about God who is sovereign, and it encourages to lean on him and not on ourselves. I was thrilled recently when someone I know who I've been trying to help spiritually in very difficult circumstances, and she said to me, "I can't believe how much better I feel at the moment. I'm in a much better place." She said, although her circumstances hasn't changed at all, her prayer had changed. Instead of praying about the circumstances and trying almost to change those, her prayer had changed to being, "Lord, help me to trust in you and allow you to give me the strength each day for what I need." And she said it was unbelievable the difference it has made to her and the peace that she now has, even in the midst of her difficulties. And I'm sure this is what we all want, isn't it? We want to be able to trust in God despite sometimes our circumstances. So back to our passage. I'm going to read a few verses from the whole passage that was read. I'm going to read it out of a paraphrase, actually, just so that we can get our thoughts on the three main themes that I'm going to talk about this morning. So for verses 5 and 6, "Assyria is the whip of my anger. His military strength is my weapon upon this godless nation, doomed and damned. He will enslave them and plunder them and trample them like dirt beneath his feet." This is the first theme, that sovereign almighty God, he will use whoever, whatever nation he chooses. And in this case, he is choosing Assyria to be his tool. And then verse 12. "After the Lord has used the king of Assyria to accomplish his purpose, then he will turn upon the Assyrians and punish them too, for they are proud and haughty men." So even though God is choosing to use Assyria, the next thing is that there is judgment upon Assyria herself because of her godlessness. And then verse 20 is the third part of our theme. "Then at last, those left in Israel and in Judah will trust the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, instead of fearing the Assyrians." So here we have the promise that God the Almighty, the sovereign God, is working out his purposes, and there will be a remnant of Israel and Judah will be saved because God is working out his purposes. His promise that he made to Abraham and to you and me are assured. So let's have a look a little bit more closely at the first of these themes. In verse 5 to 19, we see that God is going to chastise his own people, the people of Israel. Why? Because of their godlessness and their turning to other nations for help rather than turning to the Lord. And sometimes, isn't that a picture of us? We turn this way and that way and whatever instead of turning to the Lord. And yet we know very clearly that God's words tells us to trust in him, to pray about things. Yes, of course, we can get help from different places as well. But where is our trust? Is it in what the world can offer, or is it in God himself? And so this judgment that Israel and Judah, the people of God, they've brought it upon themselves. It's not what God intended. It's not what God wants to do. But because of their turning away from God and turning to other nations and looking for help from the other nations rather than God, God will judge them. And yet God is still working out his purposes. And even though he uses Assyria, they are proud and arrogant. And God will not accept that. If you look at how arrogant they are in verse 8, Assyria is saying, "Are not my commanders all kings? Look what we've done, look what we can do." And of course, their goal is to get Jerusalem, which they don't do. So Assyria believed that her power and wealth gave her the right to sack the world. The boasting, "Look what I've achieved," is what they're saying. Look at verse 12 and 13. Verse 13. Well, we've got in verse 12 the arrogant boasting of the king of Assyria, his haughty pride. And then in verse 13, "By the strength of my hand I've done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding." Wow, what pride is that? And such a danger and a warning for each one of us. Do remember that all our successes that we have are due to the grace and mercy of God. Yes, we need to work with God. We need to put in our own effort. But actually, at the end of the day, it's God who enables. God who is the author of all the gifts that we have, whatever those gifts might be. And yet so often we want credit for our achievements. But beware, that's not God's way. We need to turn back that to God, to give him the glory, to turn any glory that we may have, to praise him who is on the throne, the sovereign one, the almighty one. In fact, in verse 15 and 16, we're reminded, "Shall the axe boast over the one who wields it? Or the saw magnify itself against the one who handles it? Or a rod who raises the one who lifts it up?" It would make a great cartoon, wouldn't it? This idea that the tool is more important than the person who is wielding it. So what does it mean for you and me as we serve God in whatever capacity we do that? It means that we must give God the glory. Do we do that? It's easy, isn't it, too? And it's good to encourage people with their gifts, musical gifts or whatever gifts. It's good to encourage one another. But each time we do, let's remember that God has given our gifts, whatever they are, for the good of us all. And we are to use them in that way and to thank God and give God the glory for those gifts that we have. And thank God that within our church we have so many with different gifts. And so God says, "The great and powerful kingdom of Assyria will be eaten away by disease and fire," in verse 16. Therefore, the sovereign, and this is the theme, that God is sovereign. He is the Lord Almighty, the one who is in control of the world that he's made. He will send wasting sickness among his stout warriors, and under his glory a burning will be kindled like the burning of fire. A prophecy which came true between 629 and 605 BC. Assyria defeated. And the last verses that we read, the 33 and 34, the destruction of Assyria will be seen with terrifying power. Look, the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, will lop the boughs with terrifying power. God is in control. He's working his purpose out. As that song says, as year succeeds to year. And so we have the promise in verse 20. God will always have his people. On that day, the remnant of Israel and the survivors of the house of Jacob will no more lean on the one who struck them, but will lean on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The promise is that God's people will be kept safe. Those who turn to him, those who rely on him. God's promise to Abraham, God's promise to you and me will not be thwarted. Surely if you're a Christian in a persecuted country where you've got a horrible dictatorship or whatever, it must be a great encouragement. They've probably got this passage underlined in so many ways because it will give them encouragement and hope. That despite their persecution, and how sometimes I wonder how they live through it. And yet this is an encouragement to say, it looks maybe that your nation is in control of your destiny, but it is not. God is sovereign of all nations. It will give them hope, and it should give us hope too, as we see the mess that the world is in. So maybe it might look that nation X or nation Y is all powerful. It is not, because God is sovereign. And we have the assurance here that's not the case. God is God. His purposes will not be thwarted. He may use nations, but in the end, he will have his way. This should bring encouragement and hope to all believers. Because sometimes we can be tempted to despair. I was talking to an older lady recently, and she said, oh, I just don't know what to believe anymore when I look at all that's happening. Well, this is what we're to believe, that God is sovereign. He is in control. When we're tempted to despair, read passages like this. Be assured that our God is sovereign over his world, over all peoples, over all nations. He's dependable. He's faithful. We can lean on him. We can trust in him 100%. So how are we to lean on him? Well, in verse 20, we've got in this one that we read at church at the moment, it's in truth, it says. Look at those two little words, in truth. And that really doesn't really say what it means in the Hebrew. It means trust in him completely with consistency, without being fickle, without wavering. That trust, that leaning on God that never changes. How is your faith? James, in the book of James, we're reminded, aren't we, to trust God completely without doubting. For the one who doubts, James says, is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. I love watching the sea. But you can see, can't you, how the wind goes this way and that. And if there's something just floating on the surface, it just gets knocked about this way and that. James says, no, that's not how your faith should be. Your faith should be stable, unwavering, trusting. And so how should we pray? Well, each day we should be praying, Lord, strengthen my faith. Help my faith not to fail. J. Jesus himself said, lead us not into temptation. He taught us to say it because so easily we're tempted to despair, tempted to look away from God rather than looking to him and depending on him. We need to be a people of faith, not looking at our circumstances, but the word of God, because we know the love and power of God. Verse 20 is key. Isaiah is looking forward to a day when a restored Israel will become wise enough to put her trust in God. God, who is the Holy One, whose intentions are pure, not like Assyria, not like any nation of the world, whose power is unique, and whose commitment to you and me is total. God, who made our wonderful world, is committed totally to its salvation. And so we are told we do not need to be afraid. We do not need to be afraid. Verse 24. Do not be afraid, at the top of the page, of the Assyrians. They may beat you with a rod and lift a staff against you, but don't be afraid of them. Well, that may not always be easy, but it only can happen if we're trusting in God. When we think that the world is going to get the better of us, when we think that our circumstances are overwhelming, we look to God. And we, as Jesus himself said, do not fear those who can kill the body. Well, we praise God that we're not in that situation. We're not persecuted yet in this country for being a Christian, but maybe in time to come. But here too we see that they are reminded by Isaiah of what? Of two major things in their history: the deliverance from Egypt, verse 24, and verse 26, when Gideon was delivered from the Midianites. You'll find that in Judges 7. So past experiences, and this is what the Jews were so good at. They recalled them, they had celebrations, they had festivals to remember what God had done in their past. Why? Because it supports and encourages our faith. I'll never forget what the Lord has done, says one of the songs. But I have to say, sadly, we often do. We forget what God has done in our own lives. And we need to remind one another in families, in our church family. Yeah, but do you remember when God answered that prayer and so and so? We need to remember what God has done, because then it gives us the confidence to say, yes, we have a God of miracles. And God can do it again. And in verse 27, on that day his burden will be removed from your shoulder and his yoke will be destroyed from your neck. The idea of the yoke here and the burden is of servitude. And God is saying this will not last forever for his people. And even though in verse 28 to 32, we have a picture here again of Assyria marching towards Jerusalem. But as I said a minute ago, in verse 33 and 34, Isaiah vividly describes the final downfall of Assyria, likening Assyria to lofty trees that are felled with no hope of renewal. Which actually, and I'm preaching next week at 11, but at the 11, not this one. But in contrast, as we begin chapter 11, there is a shoot that comes up from the stump of Jesse. So Isaiah and the people faced a choice. And you know the choice is very similar to ours. Do we respond to circumstances that we are faced with? How do we respond to them? Do we respond with a reliance upon God? Or do we resort to self-help, using whatever wisdom of the age is in vogue? It's very similar. How How do we respond to our circumstances, to what we see personally, to what we're experiencing personally? But when we look at the world and the news, the world news, the national news, well, my choice, and I hope yours too, is to rely on God. God who is sovereign, God who is almighty, who's working out his purposes for you, me, and the world. You see, we know the love of God in Jesus Christ, and we're saved by faith, but we must live by faith too. We know the love of God, the sacrificial love of Jesus as he died on the cross. We know too that we can trust the wisdom of God, that he knows what's best for me and you. As I look back on my life, some things that I would have loved to have happened didn't happen. But as I look back on some of them, not on all, but on some, I can see that actually, yes, Lord, you know best. And we know and believe that God alone has the power to bring about what's best for me and for you, his people. Let's believe those things. Experience his love. Trust in his wisdom that he knows best. And know and believe that he has the power to change things. Will you lean on him completely? Will you ask him for faith to keep on believing with a faith that doesn't waver? And let's live by faith, because we're saved by faith alone, but let's live by faith too. Amen.